Justin.
And a good Tuesday afternoon to you. And yes, it is time for the McFarland Show here on WNSR. Darren and Justin here with you. And we are live in the Strikers Bear Family Fun Center studio. DJ Damon is alongside for the ride. And hopefully, so are you. You can listen anywhere in the world to the show. WNSR app is free and easy to download. You can go to WNSR.com, listen live, and you can also watch the show on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. And on our YouTube page, you can communicate with us in that search tab. Just type in WNSR Live, one word, and we'll see your comments. Of course, we have our text line and our phone line at 615-844-5600. A lot of things to get into today. Michael Gallagher will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk about the Predators game tonight. They're 15-0-2 in their last 17, and they host the Vegas Golden Knights this evening at Bridgestone Arena. So we'll talk to Michael coming up soon. And then in the second hour, a little bit later on in the show, Chris Dortch with Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. All things college basketball, the tournament. He's been tweeting about Vandy's new hire. So he seems to know some stuff about him. And so we'll get into all things college basketball with Chris Dortch coming up a little bit later on in the program. Mark Byington is their coach. And by the way, he'll be officially sworn in on campus on Thursday.
Okay.
He'll raise his right hand and solemnly swear to win a lot of basketball games.
Well, he can swear. He'll get paid either way, so.
That's how it works.
That's how it works.
Yeah, you're right.
Good deal.
So, we told you yesterday, the Lady Vols were playing during the show. They end up losing to NC State. There's a lot of stuff swirling about Kelly Harper. I do wonder if she's going to survive this.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like they're going in the right direction. That's what happens a lot of times whenever you feel like you're sliding back, you're not making progress. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. By this time next week, we'll have a cut.
Whether they want to or not, and they're going to be judged accordingly. And, you know, she's half the team, and I've just pulled up her record here. As a matter of fact, DJ Damon, I just sent you some sound, good sir, from Kelly Harper. I don't know if you've got it or not. But we're going to hear from her in just a second. Darren, she's 108-52 in 5 seasons at Tennessee. This last season was 20-13. Before that, 25-12, 25-9, 17-8, 21-10. She's made the tournament the last 4 years. Hasn't gotten as far as she wanted to go. Most people would say that's pretty good. This is Tennessee, though, and the standard is different, obviously. Oh. And, you know, after the game last night, she said this. She seemed to be somewhat satisfied here, and I want to hear your reaction to this.
Mm-hmm. The result isn't the result that we wanted, but the result was we were playing our best basketball late. Unfortunately, maybe not today, but we've been playing really good, and I think we can be proud of who we ended up, where we ended up, and that's what I'm going to remember.
Yeah, I heard those comments.
Okay.
And that's nice, but this is the Lady Vols. And look, nobody is saying that no one should be held to Pat Summitt. They're never going to have another Pat Summitt.
No. Okay,
Pat Summitt is a one of a kind. Pat Summitt is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Okay? Make no mistake about it. They're not going to find another Pat Summitt. But they also, it doesn't mean that they're like, okay, so we're not giving up on the program and we can't have another Pat Summitt, so we'll just accept whatever. No, well, that's not how it works.
What is whatever? Like, there has to be a new set of standards for
them. Won a game in the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
That's last year, I think they got to the Sweet 16
the last 2 years.
And she was given a contract extension.
Yeah, Sweet 16 the last 2 years.
And then you win one and you're done.
Yeah.
And look, again, whenever it doesn't help whenever you have programs in your own conference not only passing you by, blowing by you.
I mean,
Tennessee is not even on the same playing field as South Carolina and LSU right now. They're just not.
Okay.
And by the way, so why can't Tennessee go find someone like Don Staley or Kim Mulkey that can win at that level? That program should not – they're not willing to just say, hey, you know what, we're just here. You know, we're the Lady Vols, and hey, look at all the banners from the past. We're just living in the past. No, they want to get back there. It doesn't mean that you can't win again without Pat Summitt. You absolutely can.
Absolutely you can.
But you got to find the right coach, and so far, they haven't.
They've got to determine what is okay. And I understand that you're saying that getting one and done, or not one and done, but you know, winning a game and then being dismissed from the NCAA tournament may not be the standard, or even getting to the Sweet 16 may not be the standard. And we talked to Vince about this, which is why I asked Vince yesterday about the questions about what happens if she wins this game. Yesterday was a no-win situation for Kelly Harper. If she won the game and got to the Sweet 16, big whoop, okay? If she lost next week, would it be any better? I think it would be about the same, because she didn't win the national championship, even if she got to the Sweet 16 for the third year in a row. So again, I think that and I don't know the answer. I really don't. I don't know where the standards should be. Now, with some place, we set the standard for the football team a little while ago, and we decided the football team didn't have to win the national championship or even be in the national championship conversation every year. As long as they won 9 or 10 football games and went to a decent bowl game, everybody seemed to be fine. But the women's basketball team, because of the success of the past, needs to win the national championship or needs to be somewhere in the conversation in order for them to be satisfied. And I just wonder, is that an actual fair place for them to be? I know it's a fair place based on where they've been in the past, but the person who did that is no longer here.
Well, you know what it may be time for? Dare I say it? It may be time to get out of their own nest.
Well,
they've been living in their own nest, in their own tree with their hires.
Okay.
It may be time for an outsider. It may be time to get out of the nest again and go find that Don Staley, that Kim Mulkey. There are other programs that are successful year in and year out. And it may be time. You're still the Lady Vols. You're still Tennessee basketball.
Yeah.
They draw a great crowd. And when they're winning, they don't need to take a backseat to anybody.
Outstanding.
But guess what they've been doing this whole time since Pat Summitt? They've been staying within.
Yeah.
One of their own.
Which is what legends typically do. Watching Alabama do this for years with Bear Bryant, they stayed in the family for years. For years and years, they refused to hire anybody who didn't coach or play under Bear.
Yeah.
That was the rule.
I agree. And then they hired
Nick Saban, who didn't either.
Little Nicky. And guess what?
One thing I noticed, too, if you don't mind, I just want to throw this.
Well, because we're talking about Tennessee. Yeah. Sure, go ahead.
But honestly, I mean, you've made some good points, but I also noticed that she has that Holly Warlick sound, you know, like, oh, I'm so sad. I don't know what to do. She seems like she's lost
the because
connection.
She knows the pressure of that job, Damon.
And she's not recruiting. Like, I remember when Pat Summitt was coach, she recruited star players every year. It was like somebody coming in next is going to be the next Candace Parker. Or, you know,
they're
what I'm
not getting. Well, they're not there. Of course. Okay. They didn't have to take a backseat to anybody.
But now
they were plucking
South Carolina's
the best. Of course.
Yeah.
LSU's getting them.
Why is that?
Heck, old Geno. Isn't having the same success.
No,
in right. Connecticut.
No, he's not. It's a different day.
By the way, Geno used to get whoever he wanted for decades.
Does Holly Warlick and Kelly Harper sound sad because they are sad, or do they sound sad compared to Pat Summitt? See, I wonder, is even that comparing Pat Summitt in your mind when you hear what they're saying? And when you're comparing the recruiting measures. Well, Pat Summitt used to get who? Yeah, she did in another era of basketball without the NIL, without the transfer portal, because all that goes for them too. It's not just men.
Holly came right after Pat, so she had a lot of issues with getting them kind of players and coaching them. She tried to coach like Pat, but I think the problem with Kelly is that she has kind of fell into that same thing, like. She sort of lets them play. Because I watched Tamara Key yesterday. She played so lazy.
I'll tell you where things changed. while they made an unbelievable comeback, and you know, we had Vince on and talked about this. Mm-hmm. She came under a lot of scrutiny with how that game ended.
Yeah.
It did not look like they
were
well coached.
Game, yeah.
The South Carolina game. They did not look well coached. They did not look prepared.
They were confused.
In that spot. They looked more confused than anything. And that doesn't, again, she's not in year one.
No.
And so,
this is year five.
Look, John Calipari is, did you hear his radio show? Does he sound like his... Yeah, he's typical, still arrogant John Calipari.
He's kind of.
But he hears the noise.
No, I'm sure.
Because he's basically. Begging is a strong word. He is taking a different tone with the Kentucky fans. That radio show that he just did had a different tone than in the past. Now, does that mean that the fan base is like, okay, cool, we good, one more year? No. Because a lot of them are like, yeah, it's the same old crap we've been hearing year after year. You ain't going to change, bro.
Yeah.
You can tell us you're thinking about changing. You needed to change years ago. You're not going to change. So we're ready to move on. And I think it's serious. Look, there's a reason why we went to Lexington on Friday.
Sure.
It's serious.
Oh, no.
I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger or not because this buyout's about $34
million. Yeah.
But it goes along the same lines, Justin. You can't judge them like every other program, everybody else, because they ain't everybody else. Okay, yeah. They have different standards than everybody else, or most. And Kentucky, I hear some of the comments of people that are defending you. You're not going to do better. I heard a really good back and forth with DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo.
There you go.
And DeMarcus Cousins was defending John Calipari to the hilt.
Yeah.
And Rajon Rondo was like. I understand what you're saying, but this is Kentucky basketball, man. This is not – they don't hire you to go out in the first round to St. Peter's.
No.
They don't hire you to go out of the first round against Oakland.
No.
They don't hire you to go out of the SEC tournament in the first round every year. That's not how it works. You don't get to be the highest paid coach in America at that program, the winningest program in college basketball, and just do whatever and it's okay.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. So it was a really good back and forth, and there's a lot of other people that are defending Calipari and say, look, how are you going to do better? Well, give me a break. How are you going to do better? There were coaches before him.
Oh, sure.
And there'll be coaches after
him.
And sure. And guess what? Most of them, other than Billy Gillespie, all of them that have come through there have won national titles. So, okay, so it's not like you need Calipari to win a national title. And by the way, he's only done it once.
Kentucky – to me, is a slightly different job. And even Alabama, which I just compared them a short
Alabama
time ago.
Alabama
football, let me be clear, is a slightly different job than Tennessee. And if I'm out over my skis here, forgive me, but I'm going to say it anyway. What was Tennessee ladies basketball before Pat Summitt? Were they a dominant titan of basketball?
No.
Okay.
But
so
she did it forever.
Understood. But it happened only under her.
Yeah.
Kentucky basketball did not depend solely on one coach for all of their success. Neither did Alabama football, by the way, which the majority of it came under Bear Bryant. That is true. But even after Bear Bryant left the program, you know, I could see him in my head there in 96. In the mid-90s, old coach Gene Stallings. Gene Stallings. Gene Stallings came through and won a national championship there at Alabama. So now you have a lineage now. Now you have Michigan is another program. Michigan has won national championships in football under multiple coaches, not just one. Tennessee has won multiple national championships, but has been under one coach.
Okay, I got you. That's fair.
It's been under one coach. So I'm just saying, Kentucky's a historic program against a historic coach.
Fair enough.
But that coach was
there for a long time.
She was.
I don't even know what was 35
long
years?
Time. A long time.
And by the way, when she was there, basketball was not being watched as much. She actually brought a lot of viewers.
You're not going to catch me saying Pat Summitt is anything less.
That's why her legacy is really strong.
Historic figure in the history of not just women's basketball, but all of sports. I am not going to sit up here and shortchange Pat Summitt, not one iota. I am just saying the program versus the Kansas basketball.
Other programs have had other coaches win them natties.
Yes.
Tennessee's had
Los Angeles Lakers basketball, New York Yankees baseball.
Kansas basketball, North Carolina, Duke. Well, I don't know, Duke. Well, let's see, 78, they lost in the national championship to Kentucky. So,
Duke is, it's Coach K, and but they, then you look around.
But they also had success before Coach K. They did. Not natties. Like, they lost.
But that's what makes it such a big deal in these, because it's multi-generational, you know, kind of thing. You know, it's talking about.
Fair enough. I do think the things in Lexington are going to be very interesting. They'll probably have a decision here soon, but there is a scuttlebutt out there saying that they are figuring out, are they willing to pay him the $34 million to go away? So I don't know. And maybe everybody's got a different opinion. Every day that goes by, maybe that means he's going to make it, or maybe not. I don't know what's the right thing with every 24-hour block of time that goes by. I don't know what that means.
True.
And, of course, you know, I think two things that Kentucky and Tennessee have in common is people have been waiting a long time to win. You know, since Pat Summitt, it's been a long time. Since Kentucky won, it's been a long time.
It's been a long time for that program.
To win,
it ain't been
title,
that long.
To win a national title.
It's been it's been a long time within the program. It's been a long time for the scale that they are.
Right.
It hasn't been all that long. It's just been a long time.
Because a lot of people could do, I've seen this comparison, they blame, or they kind of compare Cal with Bobby Cox. Like, you know, success, and you got one ring to show for it.
No, it's understandable.
You know, but anyway. All right, we'll come back. We'll switch gears, talk Preds. They're on a heater. We're going to find out what that means, and we'll talk to Michael Gallagher. We'll do that next as you listen to The McFarland Show on WNSR.
And now, the fine folks at FMR Construction Services are on the air, proudly saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military, both past and present. Thank you. This message is courtesy of FMR Construction Services, your certified pros. For commercial and residential roofing, general contracting, and painting needs, call FMR Construction Services today at 615-788-7662. 615-788-7662.
Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you are stuck in and your options to get rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of horrible timeshares for over 10 years and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. Get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. Once again, 800-462-3333.
Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Start your experience at Bob's with the fried calamari or fresh scallops seared in Texas burnt honey. All the beef at Bob's Steak and Chop House are USDA prime cuts. From the traditional fillet of tenderloin and ribeye to the adventurous Kansas City bone-in strip. They even have two different surf and turf options. And if you're looking for the other white meat, Bob's Steak and Chop House serves a dry-aged pork tomahawk with homemade applesauce. Fresh seafood is on the menu from salmon to scampi and even fresh lobster tail. For reservations, give them a call or log on to the Omni Nashville Hotel website. Bob's Steak and Chop House at the Omni Nashville Hotel.
This responsible gaming message is brought to you by the Tennessee Lottery. When you play the lottery, it's important to play responsibly. Know your limit and spend only what you can afford. Set a budget and stick to it. And remember, as long as you're having fun, you're always a winner in our book. The Tennessee Lottery is a proud supporter of National Problem Gambling Awareness Month. To learn more about problem gambling resources, visit TNLottery.com.
It's a Bill King Show.
Have I ever told you my disdain for spring games? They are useless. They are irrelevant. They are not representative of a real college football game, nor does it tell you what you need to be looking out for once your team gets on the field for fall games that do count, that do go in the record books, and do mean something.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Text the Strike and Spare studio now at 615-844-5600. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Very true. Rolling along on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line. Darren and Justin here with you live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. Predators tonight at home hosting the Vegas Golden Knights. Let's bring in Michael Gallagher at MG Sports _ is how you can follow him on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. He's with Nashville Hockey Now, and he's going to now join us. Michael, how we doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. 15-0-2 in their last 17, which the last time they lost was 9-2 to the Dallas Stars, and then everything changed for the Predators. And to me, what really shows the buy-in on this team, one of the many things, but Saturday they're in a dogfight with Detroit, and a guy like Philip Forsberg is dropping the mitts and getting in a fight. That tells me a guy that's on the doorstep of getting back in that 40-goal club again, and is going to do it this season. So that'll be twice since being with the Predators. That is the buy-in factor to me. That's when you know your body is, one, he doesn't need to be doing that. Two, you don't even want him to be doing it, but he did. And that tells me a team that has a different mentality than maybe some of the teams we've seen in the last 3-4 years. You agree or disagree?
No, I definitely agree. I think it's a great point, too, because I think we've seen, you know, historically over the last 3 or 4 years that when this team comes up against, you know, adversity, they give up multi-goal leads, they give up goals really quickly in bunches and stuff, and that the Detroit game was a perfect example of, I think, of the Predators teams the last couple of years under John Hines that would have folded, that would have let something like that bother them. I mean, it was a nothing-nothing game until, what, 5 minutes left in the third period, basically. Ideally, you don't want someone as important as Forsberg going out there and getting into a fight. I mean, we saw last year Alex Carrier got into a very nonchalant fight, and he ended up missing, what, 20, 30 games because of it. You don't want someone as important as Forsberg to put himself in those situations, but also you could argue, like, that was the turning point in that game. That was what the team needed to kind of rally around him, and, you know, he ends up scoring the eventual game-winning goal, too. Like, that's a good example of the leaders on the team stepping up and leading by example, I think.
With 11 games to go in the regular season, do you think there's any way that they could catch Winnipeg for that third spot in the Central?
I think it's possible, yeah. I mean, right now you're looking, they're only 5 points behind Winnipeg, and the Jets have been, I don't want to say on the struggle bus, but they've been kind of looking more beatable lately. Connor Hellebuck hasn't had the greatest stretch after he looked really, really good early on in the middle of the season. I think it's definitely possible, especially as well as the Predators are playing and with the up-and-down kind of performances the Jets have had. 5 points in 11 games, you're going to have to be pretty perfect to close that gap. But, I mean, this team hasn't lost in regulation since that basically since Valentine's Day when they lost to the Stars. So, I mean, if the Predators can keep doing what they're doing, I think it's definitely possible. 11 games is a little tight trying to close a five-point gap, but I think it's doable.
So what is the hats that they've been wearing? I know Brunette has been wearing them, the players. What, I can't even say it. Relentlessness. Oh, my gosh.
They are relentless?
Relentless.
There you go.
I don't know why. You know, sometimes you just words you can't.
Stretch the cheeks. They're relentless.
Relentless. Is that the hats they've been wearing?
Yeah. It was after... Gosh, what was it? I think it was after one of the games last week. We were doing postgame, and we had just kind of off-record asked Michael McCarron about it, and he said that they the hats just kind of showed up in their locker in their lockers one day, and then Brunette came in and started talking about, like, they wanted to be relentless. Like, that was the mantra. They wanted to embody that kind of play, and the team just kind of took it and ran with it. And now you see the players wearing it. You see Brunette wearing it occasionally, and it's really kind of become like the MO of this team. They've really adopted it. I did a story on Nashville Hockey Now talking about, like, how the third period was their Achilles heel at the beginning of the year, and now you could argue it's their best period. They lead the league in third period goals scores. Third period goals scored. They're the only team in their 17-game point streak that hasn't trailed in the third period to start that period at the beginning. Let me rephrase that. They're the only team during that point streak that hasn't trailed to start a third period, which is pretty incredible. And that's really, they've kind of embraced it. We know the Predators pride themselves on being a team that's difficult to play against, but now we're really seeing it show up in the results and in the standings.
Yeah, I blame myself for this little stumble here in this portion of the interview. So that was on me, Michael, for setting the tone of not being able to spit words out.
But you're relentless.
Words are hard.
Winning is hard and words are hard. There you go.
But Darren's relentless, so he'll come right back here.
So
there you go.
What do you think ultimately? What happened? Like, nobody, you know, look, if somebody says that they saw this coming, like, give me a break. You didn't. You didn't see this coming. I mean, they've been the best, basically the best team in the league since they got embarrassed at home to Dallas. Worst franchise home loss. So what do you think? It's cool that you wear hats. Look, I've seen all this. This is year 25. And look, whatever motivates you is cool. And I know you have to pull out. You got to do whatever you got to do, right? And they've done little stuff like this in the past. But ultimately, what do you think it is, Michael? Like, what do you think? You know, they have flipped a switch. What do you think ultimately happened in that room?
Yeah, I don't really think there's one thing specifically you can point to for the turnaround. I think if I was putting my best guess out there, I would think it's just the players are finally taking to the coaching, or the coaching is finally sinking in, or however you want to phrase it. Like, it's the same players that have been here for most of the season. I mean, you add Zucker and Bevilier, they're kind of new additions, but everyone else has pretty much been here the entire season. The goaltending fixed its issues. The defense fixed their issues. The offense, you started seeing more depth scoring, which was a big problem everyone started talking about. But during their point streak, I mean, the Predators have allowed the fewest goals in the NHL. They've scored the third most goals. They're fourth in shots per game. They're seventh in takeaways. During their point streak, they lead the league in wins and points. And honestly, I think something that really sticks out to me that isn't talked about a lot, their penalty kill was 27th before they started this mm-hmm. point streak. It was about a 75%. Now they're sixth best penalty kill during this point streak at almost 84%. That's something that has really stuck out to me. Their power play has gotten better. Before the point streak, it was roughly like 19%. Now it's 23%. I think the special teams play is something that has been an issue for pretty much most of the year. That got straightened out. And I think it's largely just like Andrew Brunette just knew the right buttons to press, and he knew what players to put in the lineup and what players to take out. And a lot of his roster decisions have been criticized, but I think we're starting to see, like, Andrew Brunette's a really good coach. He should absolutely be in the Jack Adams conversation. To have the 17-game point streak, to be 15-0-2, to go over a month without a regulation loss in the NHL is really hard to do. And you just look at all the things that have gone right during this point streak. I think it's all a culmination of Andrew Brunette just knowing how to coach this team with the guys that he's got.
Yeah, that's a good point. Michael Gallagher on the line with us, Nashville Hockey Now, talking Predators tonight. They host the Vegas Golden Knights, which is a really important game. By the way, I know Vegas has got some key players out, so we'll see how this all plays out. But a season like this, Philip Forsberg was hampered with injuries. And look, I know they've got some injuries, and it's just going to happen to everybody over 82 games, but really, another big part of this that I don't think people are talking about is, and you have to, right? Like, this is part of it, is they've really escaped, like, the big injuries. They have. They've been very fortunate on the injury front, right? And you need that. You know, a lot of times it crushes teams, and you need that to happen. I think overall, you know, they've had some guys get hurt, but overall their stars have been there the whole time.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a very good point as well, and that's something that I know myself, I have pointed out over the last couple of years. It's kind of like, okay, pencil Philip Forsberg in for missing 10 to 15 games somewhere in there, because that's traditionally how he's been the last handful of years, and Alex Carrier missed a bunch of games last year, and like it always just seems like if things are going good for the Predators, like there's going to be a key injury somewhere, and we saw it in the Cup run with Ryan Johansson and Kevin Fiala. It just always seems like that's this team's luck, right? Things are going good, everything's clicking, and then there's a key player that gets injured for whether it's 3 games, whether it's a month, whatever it is, and they really have been fortunate to kind of avoid that. Tommy Novak, I think, has probably been their, you could probably say, is their most notable player that's been injured. He missed 10, 11 games somewhere in there, and then you've had other guys. Ryan McDonough missed a handful. You have some other, like right now, Dante Fabro is probably going to be out for the rest of the season. It looks like Jeremy Luzon is going to come back, so they were fortunate for Luzon not to miss too much time. But yeah, I think having a healthy team, especially with as hot as this team is, and the momentum they're building up right before the playoff run, like you're going to need your best guys to be healthy, and for the most part, like they haven't had to worry about that, which is kind of interesting because Andrew Brunette even admitted, he was like, my system is hard to play. You have to be, you know, not to overuse the word relentless, but you have to be relentless. You have to chase the puck. It's very exhausting. And he even said at the All-Star break, he's like, the break's coming at a good time because the players are tired. And with all the talk about, you know, how tired they are and just how physically demanding the system is, it's kind of almost amazing that they haven't really had a lot of injuries kind of breaking all the stuff in.
What does success look like for this team now? They've done this amazing thing. It's historic for their franchise. But what does it all mean? What do they have to do in order for this season to mean something? What is success for them?
You know, that's a really good question, because if you would have asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have said even being in the wild card race would have been a successful season for them. And right now, not only are they in it, but they're the number one wild card team, and we're talking about the possibility of them catching up to Winnipeg and possibly finishing third in the division. So, I mean, if that happens, I think that's absolutely a success. I mean, I feel like judging this team based off of the coaching job Brunette has done and just what he's getting out of the players, like the career year for Colton Sissons and Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi even being in the Hart conversation, and Gustav Nyquist having a career year at age 34, however old he is, and Ryan O'Reilly with, you know, flirting with 25 goals and 60 points and stuff like that. Like, I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but I almost feel like the season is already a success because the Predators are playing like a top 10 team. They're getting talked about nationally. PK Subban went on a rant on social media talking about, like, why isn't anyone paying attention to the Nashville Predators? Like, they're kind of like the darlings of the NHL right now. So if you can avoid injuries, coast into the playoffs, and then you get a favorable first-round matchup, UC Saros is absolutely the kind of goalie that can steal a playoff series for you. So I would dare to be bold enough to say, like, I think the season is already a success for them.
What is the favorable matchup, if you don't mind me interjecting real quick?
Sure.
I think you want to avoid Vancouver at all costs. I don't know how feasible that is, because Vancouver is red hot, and obviously Vegas is right on your heels. They're, what, 4 points behind you in the wild card standings. I think, and Vancouver has just really had its way with Nashville all year. I think anyone out of the Central Division, excuse me, is a more favorable matchup because you play those guys more often. You know Colorado, you know Dallas, you know Winnipeg better than you do Vancouver, Edmonton, LA. So I think the winner of the Central is probably a more favorable matchup for the Predators.
All right, I've gone to
how times have changed.
Isn't it
Colorado and Dallas is the more favorable matchup?
We're looking forward to Colorado and Dallas.
Instead of Vancouver.
Pull up that smash car in front of the arena.
I was afraid to say that, but that's what we're looking at.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that smash car right there.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think it's weird when you hear it out loud.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Colorado and Dallas.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, I've gone to this this interesting website here called records.nhl.com. And the Nashville Predators are looking for their 16th playoff berth in their history. Darren and I have done the numbers, and if they go ahead and get this done, this will be playoff berth number 16 in 20 seasons of Nashville Predators hockey, the last 20 seasons. The first 5 seasons, they didn't make the playoffs. That means they've made the playoffs as a franchise 16 out of the last 20 years. I'm going to run a couple things by you here. the Florida Panthers began playing hockey back in 1993. They have played in just 9 playoff seasons. The Anaheim Ducks began playing NHL hockey in 94. They've been to 14 playoff seasons. Tampa Bay, they've won a couple of Stanley Cups. They've also played in 15 NHL playoff seasons, but they've been playing hockey since 92, so they got a 5-year head start on the Preds. Here's the difference between them and some of those other teams. The Preds, while they've only played 15 playoff seasons, they've only had 23 playoff series. 23 playoff series in 15 playoff seasons. Compare that to Tampa, who's had 38 playoff series in 15 playoff appearances. Now, I threw out a lot of numbers in front of you here. But I did all that to say there seems to be two segments of the fan base. There's one fan base that is thrilled to get into another playoff season. There's another part of the fan base that is slightly bored with them making the playoffs because they do this most of the time. And I compared it to Garth Brooks having a sold-out concert. And I said, you know, the Predators making the playoffs is almost equivalent to saying, you know, Garth Brooks won the Entertainer of the Year award the other day. Well, really? He's won 8 or 9 of them. Is that really all that surprising? He's got a sold-out concert yet again. Have we become a little bored with them making the playoffs as much as they have, especially if they don't get beyond the first round here?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if bored is the term I would use. I think the cup run really kind of changed the way that the fan base views the team, because they got a taste of the good life. They got a taste of this team can compete with the elite of the elite. They can go and they can win conference championships, and they can get to a Stanley Cup final. And it kind of spoiled some of the fans, not the OGs, like the season ticket holders. I think very much from like day one, they appreciate how far this franchise has come, because like you said, they struggled through the first 5 years when there was no hope of making the playoffs. I think some of the more casual fans and some of the newer fans now, they're like, well, the Predators have made the playoffs, like you said, 15 out of the last 20 years. Like that's nothing, no big deal. Like we want to see them advance to the second round, which they haven't done in quite a while. I mean, you get eliminated by the Stars in the first round, and then the Coyotes, and then the Hurricane, then you get swept by the Avalanche the first time you've ever been swept in a playoff series, and it's kind of no longer getting to the playoffs is really seen as an accomplishment, I think, and that's a testament to what David Poile built. I know everyone wanted to hate on him, and in the last couple of years he was here, because it just felt like the franchise was stagnant, but you're right, to your point, like, this team does make the playoffs quite a bit. That's no longer acceptable, I think, from the fan base's point of view, and also from the front office's point of view. Like you shouldn't be gunning just to get to the playoffs. If you're a rebuilding team, then yeah, making the playoffs the first year of what should be a rebuild, like that can be considered a success, but you have to start winning playoff rounds. You have to start advancing past the first round. You have to start showing you can compete with the Colorados and the Dallases and the Winnipeg, not just in the regular season, but you can beat those guys in the postseason, which is what this team has struggled with, and they haven't won a playoff series since 2017-2018. I think that's kind of where they're at right now. Like, no longer getting to the playoffs is viewed as an achievement, because that's kind of become the norm around here. You have to start winning playoff series and having deep playoff runs.
Yep. It'll be fun. We'll see how this all plays out. Michael, thanks for the visit. As always, enjoy the game, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Michael Gallagher with Nashville Hockey Now. He's at @MGSports_ if you want to follow him, and you should on Twitter or X, whatever the heck you want to call it. We'll come back. More of the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
Do you ever feel like gambling is causing financial strain or hurting your relationships? The Gambling Clinic has been helping people who want to change their gambling habits for over 2 decades. With physical clinics and remote online appointments, we're here to help you make informed decisions about your gambling so it doesn't lead to a bigger problem. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com so we can work together to help you win your life back. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Dog parents are loving Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend premium dog food.
The way she acts and the way she moves, it's just so much better. And she acts like she's like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a freeze-dried raw food made with zero artificial preservatives. So it's naturally shelf-stable with no mess, freezer, or fridge required. Plus, it's full of premium turkey, beef, salmon, and meat your dog will love.
We started with Nature's Blend. She's happy. She sleeps well. She's energetic. I am just delighted with this product.
When given the choice, Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food, 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first.
I am so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of delicious beef liver treats. Go to drmartypets.com/healthy or text healthy to 511-511. Text healthy to 511-511.
All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request. Paid for by Dr. Marty's Pets.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LIFT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code LIFT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LIFT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LIFT.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Tony Pollard is younger. He's 3.5 years younger than Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
You're getting him in his prime. And as Adam just stated, you're not asking him to be a bell cow. You've got Spears and Pollard.
Yep.
That's where the league is today.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. Today we'll have increasing amounts of sunshine with showers becoming isolated, high 74. It'll be mainly clear tonight with lows near 40. Wednesday, sunny, high 62. Thursday, sunny, high 64. Utilizing the resources of the Motherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Titans fans, Preds fans, we have you covered. The McFarland Show.
Rolling along on this Tuesday afternoon, this windy Tuesday. You're out and about, you know what I'm talking about. Darren and Justin live in the Strikers Bear Family Fun Center studio. You'll hear from Titans head coach Brian Callahan, who spoke down in Orlando at the meetings. And you'll hear from him to start the second hour of the program. We'll also talk to Chris Dortch from Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook about Vanderbilt's new hire and the NCAA tournament. So a lot of things to get into with him. That's coming up at 3:30. But right now, it's time for the Opinionated Larry Question of the Week. Sponsored by buyatow.com. Call 615-480-6473. Get cash in your hand today and that vehicle hauled away.
All right, so let's bring him in, Opinionated Larry on the line. Opinionated Larry, good afternoon, good sir.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. My bracket is perfect. I haven't missed one team yet.
Not one game?
Larry, people are going to accuse you of being Pinocchio. Your nose is growing.
Not one game, man. You must teach us your secret, man. That's amazing.
I had Oakland over Kentucky. If you believe that, I've got a beach house in West Nashville.
anyway, a beach house in West Nashville. That is wonderful there. Opinionated Larry apparently has got the secret. Or he's filled out every single bracket in every way possible.
As the game's ended.
Yeah, he's got the AI bracket. Yes, as the game's ended. Yeah, that's a good way to do it. All right, now, Opinionated Larry, I understand. I know, good sir. You're a businessman. You are a businessman, yeah, if you are nothing else. And I know you appreciate the way that business can be conducted. So, as we are about a month away from the NFL draft, good sir, this is when, of course, college kids across the country are going to be drafted by one of 32 NFL teams and going to spend the next several years playing for that team. However, in the past, there have been a few players who've decided to challenge that system, saying that, you know, listen, if you draft me, I'm not playing for your team because I don't know if y'all team is really all that good or your organization is all that good. Recently, Deion Sanders, you've heard of Deion Sanders, right, up in there, Larry? You're familiar?
Deion Sanders,
the head coach of Colorado, of course, Coach Prime.
Yes, he had Colorado winning in his NCAA tournament.
Colorado was winning, yes. Deion was a star player, I'm sure. Coach Prime, who's, of course, got Travis Hunter and his own son, Sudor Sanders, on his team, and they are scheduled to go to the draft next year. Coach Prime recently said that he's already got the list of teams where he wants his two players in particular to go, and if they're drafted by somebody else, he's not sure if they're going to actually play for the teams that draft them. Here's Coach Prime real quick.
Okay, but I know I want them to go. So there's certain cities that ain't going to happen.
Okay, you on point.
It's going to be I'm sorry. It's going to be an Eli.
Now, so it's going to be an Eli. So in other words, Eli Manning, who when he was coming out of college at Ole Miss, decided he didn't want to play for the Chargers. He wanted to play for somebody else, so he maneuvered his way to make sure that he ended up with another franchise. So opinionated Larry, our question of the week, good sir. Should college kids have the right to determine which pro team they end up playing for?
That sounds like a simple question, but that is a difficult question. I'm serious. That is very difficult because you put yourself in a player's position first, but then you have to put yourself in the organization's position also. And I don't know all the rules or the ins and outs. I remember the Eli Manning situation like it was yesterday. I remember that very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was unfair to that organization. You know what I mean? Because they didn't lose intentionally to fall to that spot, I don't think. Hello? I mean, I don't think they did. So that's a tough question, but I don't like the coach. Is the coach the agent? Is he their agent? What's going on?
That too, opinionated Larry, sounds like a simple question, but in reality, that's a very difficult question to answer. Is Coach Prime the agent or the coach?
Is he the coach, the agent? If that's your son,
mm-hmm.
If that's your son, and say, son, I want you to take the best opportunity, but you don't always get to go where you want to go in life. And sometimes it's going to be adverse, and it's up to you to do the best you can do with what's dealt to you. That being said, I don't know, man. That's a tough. Hey guys, I'm stumped.
But you're opinionated, Larry.
Yeah,
you're supposed to have an opinion.
Really. Just think of it's your franchise, and you've drafted this guy is fell to your in your lap, and you want him, and then you pull the trigger. Okay, y'all help me out. I'm going to listen off air.
Okay.
But help me out. Remind me, how did Eli, did San Diego get somebody in his place? How did that work?
Well, no, that's me. The thing. Don't forget John Elway.
John Elway did it before that.
I'm not going to play for the Colts.
Bo Jackson also
the Broncos.
Did it.
Yes.
Bo Jackson also did it.
So what happens is, in this case, the Mannings put it out there. He will not play for you,
early.
So don't waste your right. Before the draft, don't waste your pick. He's not
going
to sign
with
you.
We're not going.
So, you know, on one hand, you'd rather know that before the draft than after the draft, in my opinion.
Yeah. Man, that was a great question. Guys, you're too heavy for me this week. I can't handle it. I'm tapping out.
We should get a radio show, shouldn't we? We ask good questions.
Oh, man.
You guys are awesome. Thank you, man.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
All right, that was the opinionated Larry question of the week. We stumped him.
Wow.
Make sure you got that recorded.
Wow.
Damon. That's sponsored by buyandtow.com. You can call them at 615-480 6473. Get cash in your hand today and that vehicle hauled away.
He final should change his name.
Final break. Come back. Wrap up the first hour next.
He should change his name. Oh.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
And paid for by Anthem Tax Services. Attention, if you or your business is behind in filing your tax returns, or if you owe over $10,000 in back taxes to the IRS, please listen carefully. The IRS does not joke around and will not stop their collection efforts. If you're tired of the IRS letters, levies, liens, or wage garnishments and would like to get a fresh start, we can help. Due to the financial hardships in the country, the IRS is making it easier than ever to settle tax problems for those who owe more than $10,000. We can help settle your delinquent tax problems, end all collections, and may even reduce your back taxes significantly. Even if you can't afford to pay your back taxes, you can still get the help you need. We've helped thousands of taxpayers just like you, but you must call 800-240-4917 today to stop your tax problem from getting worse. The information is free and the help is real. Call 800-240-4917. That's 800-240-4917. Again, 800-240-4917.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
Childress Collision Center is proudly saluting all of our first responders for their service. This message is brought to you by family-owned and operated Childress Collision Center. From a scratch or a dent to a full collision repair and expert paint matching, trust Childress Collision Center. Stop on by 1108 8th Avenue South in Nashville or call 615-266-4441. 615-266-4441. That's Childress Collision Center. They're people who care.
JB and the General.
I am in no means a chiseled goddess. God, I don't have a six pack. I'm not looking like The Rock out here. But goodness gracious, George Niang legitimately has a beer belly out on the floor right now.
Yeah, but so does Jokic. He's the best player in the world.
Well, George Niang is clanking him off the backboard.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
You're listening to The McFarland Show live on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
We have a longer segment to begin the second hour of the program. We're going to hear from Brian Callahan, who talked down in Orlando. We're also going to talk about the new NFL rules.
There's a few.
And let's just say they are interesting.
They are. Changing the game again.
Most people have an opinion one way or the other.
Yeah.
It's hard not to on these rules.
Yeah. I'm thinking of three. Is there more than that? Is there something else?
We'll go over it. The kickoff one is, I think you need to take a class on the new kickoff rule. There needs to be like an NFL class that we all can attend. Maybe they could do that via Zoom.
Well, I've been doing that on social media. They've got videos and diagrams up for the kickoff rule. So I think I'm all right. I think I understand.
Okay.
I don't know how they're doing onside kicks anymore.
Well, you can't. There's no more surprise onside kicks. You can't do what the Saints
do. I missed that part of the class.
Yeah, you
so
can't.
So there's just no more onside kicks?
You can't. You have to announce it.
Oh. So there is, but you got to announce it.
No more Sean Payton, New Orleans Saints Super Bowl.
Okay. No more sneak attack.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, okay. No more of that. We'll get into that. I'm about to say, I got. Yeah. So I missed that part.
Yeah, see? Then you. I told you.
I fell asleep. You know, this is what happens when you take classes on social media.
Yeah.
This is what happens. You miss things.
And the other thing is on the defensive side of the ball. And again, I don't know why you'd want to play on that side of the ball. I really don't know why.
It just became a lot harder.
It just gets harder and harder and harder.
I know the Titans wish it was around 25 years ago.
Well, there's a lot of people that wish this rule was around. Lots. I mean, yes. Honestly, there's been a ton of players affected by this.
Yes. No, on a serious note, you're right. You're right. There's been a lot of players who've had their entire careers affected by this particular play that we're talking about here.
Wasn't the Ravens tight end who I had in my fantasy football team?
Yes, he was one of them.
How his season was affected.
Mark Andrews.
Yeah, Mark Andrews, right? Got hurt.
Yep, that's true.
And was lost until, what, deep in the playoffs?
Deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think this was how Bo Jackson got hurt.
Is it? Was horse collar. Was it? No.
Mm.
No, you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. All right. That's hour number one. We'll come back. We'll continue this discussion. Plus, if you want to get involved, you can do that as well. Hour number two coming up next here on WNSR.
Special report from ABC News, Baltimore Bridge Collapse. I'm Michelle Franzen. The National Transportation Safety Board on scene and now taking the lead in the investigation into the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. That after a container ship slammed into a section of the bridge. Six people still unaccounted for. The NTSB chair, Jennifer Homendy, says the focus remains on search and rescue, but several agencies are also beginning to collect evidence.
We have a team here that is getting the recorders. We also have a highway safety team, our team out of the Office of Highway Safety, including structural engineers.
The crew of the Singapore ship reportedly issued a mayday, saying it lost power before that vessel crashed into the bridge. Authorities say the call to the port allowed crews during routine road patch repairs to stop traffic before the collapse. President Biden pledging federal aid to Baltimore to get the bridge rebuilt and the port reopened. This is ABC News.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
NSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Hello, I'm Greg Figueroa.
And I'm David Figueroa. Over 30 years ago, my brother Greg and I set out on a mission to offer the world a better hot sauce.
That's right, David. We made Melinda's thicker, hotter, and better than ordinary hot sauces.
And now we have 32 exciting and delicious sauces that hot sauce fans are obsessed with, like our ghost pepper sauce, our Thai sweet chili, and our best-selling black truffle hot sauce.
Melinda's also has 5 spicy ketchups made with real sugar and no added junk like high fructose corn syrup. People ask David and I what makes Melinda so good. That's easy. We think like chefs do. Instead of burning someone with hot peppers and vinegar, we use fresh plant-based ingredients and the finest chili pepper perfectly blended to set your mouth on flavor.
Go to Melinda's.com to find our line of craft condiments at Walmart and other fine retailers. And right now, get 20% off our award-winning sauces with code SPORTS at Melinda's.com. That's Melinda's.com. Melinda's.com.
Listen, you can't handle the...
About to go off.
Live from the WNSR Strike and Spare Studios.
Just a bit outside.
Now, back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Drop me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Second hour of the McFarland Show here on this Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a great day so far. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line. We are live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. We are the McFarlands, and we go by Darren and Justin. DJ Damon is alongside for the ride as well. We'll talk a little college hoops with Chris Dortch at the bottom of the hour. Doug on our text line says he's a person who had it done. Back in the day, to him, the tackling, his ankle was jacked up for months.
Mm-hmm.
He wishes that rule was in place. Nate from Columbia on our text line says, all you need to know is take the over on most NFL games for the new tackling rule. Take the over?
Yeah. In other words, people are going to score more.
Well, scoring was down this year.
Well, Nate thinks it's about to hit an increase here.
But before we get into that, okay, because it is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I remember when they came out with the extra point rule. But let's just get into this. Let's just get into it now.
Okay.
Okay, let's just get into it.
Let's do.
When they changed the extra point, moved it back.
Yeah.
First I was like,
it was 21 yards, was 19. It was about 19 yards before, because it was from the two.
Basically, the success rate was 99%.
Yeah, it was like a 19-yard field goal. Now they've made it a 33-yard field goal, roughly.
So I think they moved it back like 15 yards,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And obviously the percentages have gone way down. It
yeah.
is not...
Not guaranteed.
Not guaranteed anymore. And now, you know, now that that's happened, I think we all, like, I don't hear any pushback, right? Like, everybody's like, oh, yeah, this is the right way to go. The extra point had become just non. It's just like, why are we doing this? Like, there's no point in this.
Yes. Now, I agree with that.
There's no point in
this
play.
There was no drama in the extra point.
It's right. 99% success rate. What are you doing here? Just, in fact, you could just get rid of it and just give everybody the point. Like, well, what's the point?
A lot of the players weren't even trying on the extra point. They just snap it. A lot of players just stood up.
Yeah. Now, let's start with the tackling. Okay. You want to start there first?
Yeah, let's go.
So what do you make of this new rule?
I don't fully understand it, even though I do. I'm not sure. And what we're talking about is, what do they call it? The hip drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, the most famous example of it for this particular market, and I've looked at it several times and I think it fits, is the tackle on Kevin Dyson at the 1 yard line in Super Bowl 34.
By Mike Jones.
Now, I've seen that play. I was there at the Georgia Dome that day. I saw it live and in person. I've seen it so many times. It's pictured in my mind perfectly, I think. I mean, I think I've got it. I thought it was about as great of a tackle as you can possibly make. He made it so, and people criticize Kevin Dyson all the time about not stretching and trying to... The way Mike Jones tackled him... Kevin Dyson had no choice. He was going down.
It was the hip drop tackle. It's exactly what they just changed.
He was going down. Yep. Okay? And that was it. Mm-hmm. There was no force of will. There was nothing like, oh, he could have done nothing. He grabbed him at the exact correct point. It was almost like a submission move, essentially. He was going down. He was going down. And, you know, now to outlaw that, as a defender, it really ties your hands a lot because where are you supposed to grab the guy? He's running. He's running from you.
Horse collar can't be done.
I understand the horse collar.
I understand the horse collar, too.
I understand this.
Then
the
you have targeting. Okay, so that's
okay,
changed everything.
Yourself.
Can't launch anymore. Nothing head. But now you've taken another element of that. This just in, Justin.
And this is away from the head.
Yeah, these guys are big, fast, strong,
yeah,
physical. And I keep wondering, like, how are you going to...
I don't know how you teach this.
Yes.
How do you teach not to grab a player around his legs or hips? Or, as a matter of fact, playing defense, from what I understand in football, they tell you to watch the hips, don't they? I know they do in basketball. They tell you to watch a player's hips. The hips don't lie, as the song says. You watch a player's hips. That determines where a player is going to go. The hips move first. The hips are fluid. All those kinds of things. It's a crucial part. You're telling a defender, a guy who's supposed to, whose job it is to stop the other guy from advancing, that you cannot grab and pull on this particular area. That is very, very difficult. And now, you know, and I think J.J. Watt had an appropriate point. When he says, you might as well just pull out the flags. Let me know when you pull out the flags.
We get this every time they change your rule.
And I understand.
It's not flag football.
But they're eliminating whole positions, Darren. And they've already done it. We've talked about strong safety, you know, over and over again on this program.
Safety should be ticked because this is what we've talked about. They're the equivalent to the running backs over on the defensive side of the ball.
Yes.
The league has changed how they feel about the safety because of the new rules. They've determined a safety, especially strong safety, like you said, cannot operate.
No.
Like they used to be able to operate you were willing to pay that guy because that guy was an enforcer.
The enforcer.
On the other side of the ball. Basically, you knew with that guy in place, a whole lot of things that happened today were not going to happen on his watch because of that rule.
Safeties and middle linebackers in particular have both suffered, and they used to be one of the marquee positions in all of sports. And they have disappeared, not because they've stopped making them, they're around, but because they can
the rules
have dictated what they can do now.
Yep.
And so, now, do we like it? We're the ones who are fans. We watch this all the time. Do we like this? Is this better? Is it healthier for the sport? There's a whole lot of guys with hips and ankles and like Doug was just talking about, who wishes that he had full motion of his ankles for a little while longer, that, you know, may have had it if the defender didn't grab him there. So does that help or hurt? Like, what are we talking about
here?
How
are you supposed to get some of the greatest athletes in the world down?
I'm not sure.
These guys are physical specimens.
Derrick Henry is a problem. Derrick Henry.
How are you supposed to tackle Derrick Henry? Can you imagine? Let's go back 4 years.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to tackle Derrick Henry?
His legs have become the target because you can't hit him up top. If you hit him up top, you're going to go flying with the stiff arm.
Of course.
So you have to hit him down low. But if you're afraid now that hitting him down low is going to cost you a first down, an automatic first down, then, you know, what's the incentive to go down low now?
You don't think Derrick Henry's been hip drop tackled in his career?
Oh, I bet. A lot.
I can promise you.
A lot.
It's happened a lot. Again, how else is he supposed to get down? How else are you supposed to get him down?
Let me ask, and I don't know the correct answer to this, but how much do we need to accept that injuries and the possibility
of
getting hurt?
That's where I was getting at, Justin. Like,
it's this a possibility
is
of this football game.
If you're playing tackle football, you cannot eliminate injuries. It sucks, but you can't. Again, these guys are specimens.
Yeah,
they are freaks of nature. They are people, when you see, I'm just telling you, you've heard me say this many, many times over the years and on this show. Everybody should be able to watch one NFL game from the sidelines. Now, I did this whenever it was the old rules. And it is not for the faint of heart. I'm just telling you. Like, I sat down there when we were able to do that.
Yeah.
And said, I don't know how somebody isn't carted off the field after every play.
Mm.
I don't know how.
Mm.
When you see how fast and how big and how strong these guys, and every play was like a train wreck or a car wreck.
Man.
I don't know how they got up.
Man.
And that was, again, the old rules. And so with each rule change, and they don't let us down there anymore. So, you know, that's been years and years and years ago.
That's too bad.
It is a very, very violent and physical sport.
Yes, it is.
You're not going to get rid of injuries. It's just unfortunate. I hate it. And now we've got CTE. We've got all this other stuff that has come into play. But how are you honestly supposed to get that out of the sport? You can't. You can't.
Well, looks like they're trying.
I understand.
Now, why? I'm not sure.
The head trauma should go down.
The head trauma should go down.
But it's still like, come on. You know they're still not going to. I mean, come
I just
on.
Wonder
it's
where.
Still
the, I just wonder where the stopping point is. Like, where's the stopping point? And right. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know where it ends. Yeah, I don't know either. Where they go. Okay, we're good now.
Yeah, this is as safe as it's ever going
to
be.
We've legislated enough.
I don't know.
We're good.
Yeah,
I don't know the answer to that.
Let's go to Doug. Doug, what's up?
Hey, man. Watch the video of the Dyson tackle.
Yes, sir.
And that's not the same kind of tackle. That's the alligator roll. He didn't fall on the back of his legs because I'm telling you, when it happens, you go down like somebody shot you in your spine. First time I saw it, I thought, Second time I saw it, being tackled by a D-back, I said, they're teaching that. You tackle around the waist, slide down to the lower part, and grab on. And there's times you got to make a business decision. They didn't say, just like with the horse collar, that you're getting ejected. They said it costs you 15 when you do it. There's a difference. It's a rough way of tackling. I was one. Play back in the day, you hit a man in the mouth. You may have to make a business decision and tackle from the side. But you can grab around the waist and put your feet out in the front, just like a rodeo guy. But you don't fall on the back of his legs. You put your feet out in the front. And you hold on for help. They didn't say it was going to take away from the game. They said it's going to cost you 15 if you do it. The old scholar don't get you ejected. And they say it, what, hurts people? When you do it, you hope the guy doesn't get hurt. But they tag on a 15.
This one's going to be hard.
Maybe I need to hear it explained.
And by the way, this one.
And Doug, I'm not calling you wrong, sir. I want you to hear me, sir. I'm not calling you wrong.
Look at Richard Sherman.
Yes, sir.
And I started seeing it happen in a couple of his tackles. Now, as the tackler, it doesn't hurt you at all. If you head up somebody like, you know, the king, yeah, you got to make a business decision or tackle that way. Me, I was big enough. I didn't do it.
Isn't this one going to be much harder to determine? Like, the collisions, that targeting, leaving your feet, I think is pretty... It's not easy all the time, but it's easier. Horse collar is obvious.
The horse collar was out there in the day.
It was, but it's easy to identify. Isn't this one going to be hard to identify?
If you start watching D-backs the way I was, and I've coached a little football, I know that way. And to me, it's dirty. It'll get you down. But now, it's tag 15 on it, just like the horse collar. If you're a little man, you may have to do that. But tag 15. Me, hit him in the mouth. Tackle around the ankles, no alligator roll. And don't fall on the back of the legs. You can put your feet out in the front. And you can bring it down, just like a rodeo guy.
That's ultimately what you're doing. That's what you're doing. You're like tackling that calf.
Yes. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm watching the play. I'm watching the play, the Kevin Dyson play again while reading the definition. And it's close, Doug. I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I see the slight difference, but it's subjective. And here's the other problem, Doug. It's subjective. So I can see a referee easily throwing the flag on that, whether it's right or wrong. And just saying that you know, oh, well, that's the hip roll or whatever it is. You know, that's
the hip tackle. To me, I don't call the Dyson tackle.
You don't. But I'm just saying that, you know, Ron Torbort and company later this year might. Or,
that's
you know,
what I'm saying. It's going to be very difficult to call this one, I think.
I think they'll be taught. It's just like times that we think it's the horse collar and he grabbed, the shoulder pad.
Yeah, but I think the horse collar's a heck of a lot easier than this one.
It was the back, it was the back.
Because here's the thing, Doug.
Nameplate.
You played the game. How many of these officials have played the game? The ones who haven't played the game, I think it's going to be a very difficult call. If you've played the game, it's different.
The first time I saw it, I was like, you know, I thought it was an accident. And then when I saw a couple more players, and some of these heck of a defensive backs go out and have their own camps, and I saw it being taught, I was like, don't know about that. So now you started seeing it, and guys, you got to start listening around and paying attention to what's being taught. If you know it's being taught, you got to start paying attention to it. That's it for me. Just look at it and analyze it, and I think they'll come around with something. Now, tagging 15 on it doesn't get you ejected. Sometimes you got to make a business decision to do a horse call instead of taking a touchdown to beat you, right? So we'll see how it goes.
All right, Doug. Appreciate it, Doug. As always.
Thank you, Doug.
I just think this one's going to be hard. This one's going to be
just
hard.
It opens up the door.
Or harder to make the call. I just think it is. It's going to be very, I don't know, subjective.
It's subjective.
I think it's going to, for people, most of these officials, I think, have not played the game. Now, we know in the Super Bowl, one of the officials did play the game, right?
Yeah, Terry Killen.
Yeah. But overall, I don't think they have. And I just think this one is going to be a much more difficult. Obviously, they're going to have to work a lot of this out in the preseason games, right?
Yeah.
I just think this one, and maybe I'm wrong, I think the hip drop tackle is going to be a much, much harder call than. And sometimes targeting can be tricky, but targeting also can be easier. Horse collar can be tricky, but it can be a heck of a lot easier. I think the hip drop tackle is going to be difficult to call. Think about how many times it's happened in the NFL every game. And how many games are played every week. So how many times was that play happening every single week in the NFL?
I wonder if it's a situation, Darren, where they've made the rule, but they don't really start enforcing it heavily right away.
They give it a couple of years.
Or they come out with the hammer year one.
They're going to come out in the hammer in preseason.
Yeah.
We're going to see hip drop tackle calls because that's what leagues do.
Yeah.
The NHL has done the same thing.
And that's how you get your point across.
Right. Well, they're trying to. It's about getting the point across and saying, this is the new precedent. This is the new way of conducting business. If you do it this way, we're going to call it. So we're going to start training you now.
Yeah.
In preseason. Other leagues do it too. And they're going to put, you watch, they will put a heavy emphasis on this call in preseason. And then the coaches will get in the meeting rooms and they're going to break down film. And they're going to show the players, you can't do this. And they're going to slow it down, right?
Yeah.
It's all going to be a learning because this is going to be hard. I'm just telling you, this one right here is going to be hard.
What they call a point of emphasis.
It's just going to be very hard for them. Yeah. It's easy to say, oh, you just got to train them and you got to change your mindset. Oh, that's all nice. Yeah. You've been doing this your whole life. And now you're supposed to just, you know, it's called at some point, and Doug knows as he played, it's instincts kick in.
Yeah.
You're not breaking down things in your head.
No.
On a play.
Especially
like,
on that level.
Can I do this? Can I not do this? I'm going to. No.
On that level?
Right. You're just like, how do I get this guy down?
Man.
Like, he is 1 yard away from getting a first down. We need to get him down now.
Yeah.
Now, the kickoff one, I don't know how this is going to play out. This is going to be weird. Your kicker is going to kick from the 35, your own 35.
Yeah.
The other 10 players are going to be on the other 40.
Yeah, lined up directly across from you.
They're going to be lined up, 20?
5 yards.
No, they're at the other 40. I'm pretty sure I read it that way. Not your own 40, the other 40.
Not the way I saw it, but okay. Maybe we need to go back to school here. Let's go back to school.
I was going
to
say, I thought you
– Hey, listen, I did. But let's go back to school here and maybe let's find out what the thing is.
Because what the thing is.
Let's find out what the thing is. Because I thought I saw what it was. And so if that's not it, then you know, let's find out what the problem is here. We'll take a break, we'll come back.
Well, we gotta switch gears to college basketball.
Oh, we gotta do that, Trent. We got a college basketball conversation.
So,
I'm sorry.
What is the zone they're calling it? I've got drop. I was getting ready to call it the drop zone. It's not the hip drop zone. What is the target zone? Is that what it's called?
Yes, the target area. Zone, yes.
Target area.
The target area.
So you got to drop it in the 20, in between the 20 and the goal line. That's where you got to drop it in. If you are short of the 20, which I can't imagine that would ever happen, but if you are short of the 20, don't you get it at like the 40?
Yes. Yes, that is the rule.
If it goes touchback, kick it into the end. Because that's what, by the way, last year, everything was just a touchback.
Automatic touchback.
Yeah, it was just a touchback.
It was like the extra point.
It was exactly. And that's why they've done this rule, because everything was just a touchback. There were no returns in the NFL.
No, they've totally eliminated that.
Everybody was
part
just
of the
kicking the ball out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah. Yeah, Devin Hester would never make it now.
No, and he better be glad he's in, because I don't know. It's going to be a while, if ever. So now you have to, you've got to, if you kick it out of the end zone or it's a touchback, you kick it in the end zone, they just take a knee, you get it at the, what, the 30?
Yes, it's the at 30. The 30, yes.
Now, if it's dropped in the area, so remember, 20 to the goal line. I've read all this stuff. So from the 20, that whatever they're calling the target area, whatever they're calling it, from the 20 to the goal line, if it's dropped in there and it goes into the end zone, it's live, right? So you have a choice of either picking it up and taking off or taking a knee.
Yes.
But if you take a knee, don't you start at your own 20?
Yes. That is the rule.
Okay.
If you take a knee, you start at your own 20. But if you take off, then it's wherever they...
It's wherever.
Yeah, it's wherever
so
they
get
you.
So you got to make a decision.
Yeah. It does increase the decision.
Now, those players at the other 40, by the way, cannot start running until the ball is touched, correct?
That is correct. The kicker the kickoff team. The kickoff team is no longer permitted to get a running start.
Right. You are literally just in a standstill position.
Yeah.
At the other, at their 40.
Yes.
Not your 40. The other
40.
Right?
Yeah.
Was that right?
It's a little gray here. The 40-yard line is no longer, it falls now within the yard line. The rules are written very convoluted here. We're getting it together, Darren.
The NFL email that they sent me, I scrapped it because I'm like, it's like 18.6 section by Detroit.
Yeah,
the competition committee. I was like, I can't understand this crap. This might as well be in a foreign language.
Yeah,
I don't even understand it.
It's very weird. Oh gosh. Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm not gonna.
So I think the kicker
remedial
is back at his own 35 all by himself. Like he's just all out there.
Yes.
By himself.
That's the way I saw it.
And the rest of his team is at the other 40. They're 40, and they can't start. They can't start running.
Yeah,
until the ball is touched.
The kicker cannot cross the 50-yard line until the ball touches the ground or the player in the landing zone or end zone.
So it's the landing zone.
The landing zone.
I was calling it the target. So landing zone.
The landing zone. Well, there is a target zone and there's a landing zone. They're two different things.
Oh.
So the landing zone is the area between the receiving team's goal line and the 20-yard line. So that's where the landing zone is, according to the rules proposed here by the NFL.
Say that one more time.
The landing zone is the area between the receiving team's goal line and its 20-yard line.
Yeah.
Any kick that hits short of the landing zone is treated like a kickoff, out of bounds, and the ball will be spotted at the 40.
That's if it doesn't make it to the 20.
Yes.
Again, that would be kind of shocking that they don't make it to the 20.
You would think. Each time.
Something went awry.
No fair catches allowed. No fair catch or signal is allowed.
And by the way, there's no one going to be able, like if it's an outdoor game.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're using a tee, but if it's an outdoor game and it's windy, and you know how it blows over, usually somebody can come back there and hold it.
Yes.
I think they're going to use, what is the thing they use when they practice on the sidelines? You know, like
that little
thing.
T there.
Well,
it's
got
a T, but it's a little.
It holds the ball.
Yeah.
Whatever that is
whatever
called.
Whatever that device is called.
That's what they're going to bring up because no one is going to physically be back there with the kicker.
Yeah. Once the fourth quarter begins, the team trailing has the opportunity to declare an onside kick to the referees, but only once the fourth quarter begins.
That kicker is on an island all by himself with Wilson.
Wow. This is so strange. And then there's the setup zone. I know what on the I understand.
I can't. The movie guy. I haven't seen it.
Well, yeah, on the island with Wilson. Yeah, with Tom Hanks. I understand. With Castaway. I make fire. I get it. I get it.
Damon got it.
Damon thought it was funny. I just bypassed it.
You just
it
kept going.
Because I'm into the rule thing here. Because it looks like, you know, I'm about to learn to fly an airplane or something.
All right, we'll come back. We'll switch gears.
Let's please do.
We'll talk with Chris Dortch from Blue Ribbon.
Football has made me upset.
We'll do that next on WNSR.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the #1 dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
And now Comstock & Sons Construction is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Comstock & Sons Construction. For all your residential remodeling needs, give the pros a call today and ask about their military and senior discounts. 931-703-5623. 931-703-5623. That's Comstock & Sons Construction. They're professionals who care.
It's a Bill King Show.
This Nick Saban topic is so interesting. I was thinking about the future. The new teams that the SEC and the B1G are bringing in, and the Big 12. The 12-team playoff. The lawlessness. The constant change. But now we enter the next playing portion without Nick Saban.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
You're listening live from the Strike and Spare Studios, downtown Music City. It's the McFarland Show.
Darren and Justin here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio on this Tuesday afternoon. I think our heads are going to explode after going over the new NFL rules. So let's take a break. He's a professor, so his head doesn't explode. Professor of college hoops, Chris Dortch. Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook is on the line with us. I noticed, Chris, where you were tweeting a lot about Vanderbilt's new hire in Mark Byington, of course, the head coach from James Madison. He'll be sworn in on West End on Thursday. He'll raise his right hand and promise to win as many college basketball games as possible. You seem to like the hire. Why?
Well, I'll tell you, I think there were some who doubted whether Vanderbilt could pull off a capable hire. I think some were afraid. I think that the people that a lot of fans wanted went to other places. And for them, whoever it was, to be astute enough, a friend of mine, this is funny, a friend of mine from the Southern Conference and I have thought about starting a search firm for years. And for free, we've helped, you know, place coaches in jobs before. And we've thought about starting it up. We'll never do it. But our credo would be helping athletic directors save their jobs to prevent them from making dumb hires.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, you know, Chris Lee's a friend of mine, VandySports.com.
Comes on the show all the time. Yep.
Yeah, good dude. And his message board is active. And Twitter's active. All social media is active. And Vanderbilt fans, they're bummed out. You know, they're thinking, okay, well, the first two or three guys that we thought we could get, they're gone. Who are we going to get? And for them to find Mark Byington, who I think is Dusty May without the, let's call it what it is, fluky Final Four appearance. The bracket had to fall a certain way for FAU to get into the Final Four. I'm not so sure if the Kai Ziegler were healthy in that game, Tennessee wouldn't have beat them. But Mark Byington is Dusty May without the Final Four. And to drill down like that, to identify a coach who otherwise doesn't have, you know, that coach du jour postseason success, you got to be a basketball dork. You got to be a nerd. You got to follow it every day. My hand is raised. I'm all that stuff. And so I've known about him for years because his mentor, I don't know him personally, but I know his mentor, Bobby Cremins.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known Bobby since he was the coach at Appalachian State. He had great success at Georgia Tech, then finished his career at College of Charleston, where Mark worked for him for 7 years. Bobby, who's from New York and calls it like he sees it, said flat out that Mark Byington is the hardest worker he's ever seen. So all of a sudden, you've got a different dynamic there at Vanderbilt. You've got a guy who's used to, you know, he doesn't come from the NBA. He comes from relatively humble background. He's gotten where he is by working his tail off. And I feel like you have to do that. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, you dial up KenPom and you look at what they do well. All right, they guard the three. They're number five in the nation in 3-point field goal percentage against. Imperative in today's not just college basketball world. Imperative in basketball. You have to guard the three. So they do that. All right. Then you look at their steals percentage. They're somewhere in the teens in the country in steals percentage. So that means they're aggressive. They're getting out in passing lanes. I don't know this, but I bet they chart deflections. And so, you know, some people wondered, say, well, would Bucky McMillan from Stanford have fit in because he presses all the time? I don't think you can press all the time in a power conference. So what Byington's teams do, they make it uncomfortable for you in the half court. So I like that. I also like the fact that they were in the 40s in the country in 2-point percentage and somewhere around 61st in 3-point percentage, so they've got balance. So I think if you add, he's going to work hard, he plays an exciting brand of ball, and they're going to try to be the aggressor, I just like that combination. And third, he's an all-world dude. I mean, I hate to even admit what a nerd I am, but when they beat Michigan State in the first game of the season in East Lansing, I drew a bead on them. Because I keep a list, like I said, me and that buddy of mine, you know, helping ADs keep their jobs. We sort of keep an imaginary, not so imaginary, short list. And he immediately went on it. And then the next game, they went at Kent State in double overtime. If you remember, Kent State was a brain freeze away from a poor kid from getting in the NCAA. So then
just
all
don't
of a sudden,
foul.
Okay.
Just don't
yeah,
foul.
Yeah, exactly. Don't foul. So all of a sudden, I'm keeping an eye on them, right? And then they're one of the last undefeated teams in the country. The only losses they suffered before Duke put them out was in the month of February. They were undefeated in every other month. They had two winning streaks of around 14 games, won 32 overall. When he came from Georgia State, Georgia Southern, where he won 20-plus games his last 3 years, and he went to James Madison, I found it puzzling then. I thought it was somewhat of a lateral move. But he proved me wrong because he got it done there to the tune of, like I said, 32 wins and a round of 32 appearances in the NCAAs, and that was enough to get him out. Now, somebody at Vandy, and I don't know if they're going to say who, that might be an internal decision that'll never be disclosed, but somebody at Vandy made a good call, flat out. And I put a tweet out there. It got amplified by my buddy Joe Rexrode, and it blew up. And people were just saying, man, I'm so glad that, you know, Chris thinks this is a good hire. You know, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm not the be-all, end-all. But this is, you guys know this. This is, I've spent my whole life doing this. And I'm telling you, Vanderbilt made a great hire after some other really good candidates were already gone. They reached out and found one that in 5 years people will say, how'd Vandy get this guy?
Well, that's why we have you on, because I knew you knew a lot more about him than us. And when you just look at his resume, and I get it, Georgia Southern and James Madison are not the easiest jobs in the world, but neither is Vanderbilt. And Chris, as you know, Vanderbilt hasn't been to the NCAA tournament in 7 years, and that shouldn't happen. And I know the SEC's gotten a lot better, but Vandy can't go 7 years without getting into the NCAA tournament. And when you see that this year was the only time he's ever been there, you know, I understand why people who don't follow it as closely as you would be going, really? Is this going to really work?
Yeah.
So that's why we're having you on.
That's a good point. And but to that I would say, Mike Krzyzewski started his career at Army. Bruce Pearl started at Southern Indiana and Milwaukee. Rick Barnes started at George Mason. Everybody started somewhere. Unless you're John Shire, who's just the heir to the throne and was groomed probably, you know, from birth to take that job, and he's done a great job. Unless you're a John Shire, you're going to have to work your way up through the mid-majors. So here's the hard part. If you're an AD, you've got to decide, will this guy's, what he does, translate? And I'm telling you, hard work, philosophy, culture, and the ability to build relationships, not only with players, but with fans, media. I don't think that was the case last time out. There was a bunch of media that you know, I don't know, the previous coach wouldn't talk to. And, you know, it seems like when coaches come from the NBA, where players and coaches are shielded by their PR guys, they don't feel like you got to do that. And I don't think you can come straight from the NBA and expect to have success any more than I think you can come from college and expect to have success in the NBA. Rick Pitino couldn't do it. Yeah. You know, the list is lengthy of the good coaches that couldn't do it. So I think you have to have a guy that cut his teeth at a level where the joke used to be that, I don't know, Tennessee spent more on ankle tape than this guy had for his whole budget. And you gotta be at a place where you know you've learned to get by. And then when you do get to a place like Vanderbilt, and let's talk about Vanderbilt for a second. Vanderbilt's one of the best universities on the planet. Nashville is one of the best cities on the planet. The school has tons of donors who don't mind supporting a good cause. Somebody might say, well, Memorial Gym is funky. To that, I say it's the Fenway Park of college basketball, and I think it's cool. So, like you said, 7-year drought shouldn't happen. Academic, you know, requirements shouldn't be a problem. If Northwestern can get there, Vanderbilt should get there. Duke has built a dynasty despite those. Stanford has had its pockets of success.
Yeah.
It can be done.
What do you
mean? I'm sorry.
Now, real quick, what do you make of the SEC's lack of performance, shall we call it, here in the tournament early on here, with just two teams left after a slew of teams got in?
Yeah, I think the league is not real happy with that. I'm most surprised by Auburn and Kentucky. Obviously, that's not a Albert Einstein conclusion, but I was really surprised at Kentucky. The kid from Oakland, who really doesn't have that great a looking jumper, it just goes in. Played 4 years of D2. They knew that he'd taken only about 3 2-pointers all year. They knew what was coming, and they didn't game plan how to stop him. They couldn't stop him. So I can see where Kentucky fans would be a little bummed out. The rest of it, I don't know. It all goes. I'm surprised that Yale could beat Auburn. I really was. I thought Auburn had depth and talent that could go a long way. When Chad Baker Mazzara got tossed early on, that probably changed the course of that game. If you're gonna retaliate with an elbow, do not do it in front of the ref. And you know, it was a flagrant two, and out he goes. And that probably changed that game. So if you gave that back to Auburn, they're probably still in it. But I think the two teams that are in it will represent. I know Rick Barnes, people thought he came to Knoxville to accept that golden parachute and retire. But he's driven. And he's always told me this. And this is all caps. The last Monday night, that's his goal. And I don't have to tell you what that means.
Mm-hmm. Well, this could be the year. We're about to find out. That matchup with Creighton on Friday night is going to be very, very interesting. Chris, I wish we had more time, but we got to get this break in. So we'll catch up with you again here real soon.
Thank you, sir.
Go down some more roads here with this NCAA tournament. By the way, I agree with you. My bracket would tell you how much I thought Auburn was not going out in the first round. I had them all the way to that final Monday night, if you know what I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, Chris, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Thank you so much,
hey,
sir.
Hey, Chris, thank you.
All right. Glad to do it. Bye.
Chris Storch, Blue Ribbon College Basketball Yearbook. Good stuff from him. We need to take a break. Come back with more next.
Buyandtow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit buyandtow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, buyandtow.com. That's buyandtow.com.
Your brain is an amazing thing, but as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times national survey of pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. 800-462-3333.
Hi, I'm Jeff Fisher. Guess what? The Cats are back. The Nashville Cats will be returning to the Municipal Auditorium on April 27th in the season opener against the Minnesota Myth. There will be 5 total games played at Municipal Auditorium with 1 additional game played up in Clarksville at F&M Bank Arena on Armed Forces Day on Saturday, May 18th. For player or dance team tryouts or tickets, log on to thenashvillecats.com.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
We were here when Eddie George left. We were here when Chris Johnson left. They had to move on too. And Derrick Henry is doing the same. These guys cannot stay forever. That's just the deal.
It's just what it is.
Derrick
Henry made it to 30, and most people are ready to put 30-year-old running backs out to pasture.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
The McFarland Show, broadcasting live in Rutherford County on 107.9 FM.
Appreciate Chris George for joining us. He likes The Hire by Vanderbilt. He gives Mark Byington 2 thumbs up. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line. Let's go down to Columbia. Nate is up next. Nate, what's up?
What's up, guys? I can't believe I forgot to mention this. I guess it was yesterday. Yeah. I'm not actually shocked that Auburn player got tossed. Because I watched a couple of their games this year, and in almost all of them, he was acting a fool during the game. I don't get it.
Okay, Nate, you're talking
like the way he was playing,
like the way he was playing in the game. So you're saying that he deserved to get tossed in your opinion?
I mean, obviously he did with what he did. But I'm just saying, I'm not surprised that he actually did get tossed because of what I saw earlier in the year.
Well,
I don't know if y'all had watched much of the Auburn.
They don't go game. I mean, you think he was being tossed based on earlier reputation from something that happened earlier in the year? Like Rasheed Wallace back in the day?
No. I'm just saying, I'm not surprised he did something in the game over the weekend to make himself, you know, either get tossed or, you know, something.
You're not surprised at the behavior. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if y'all kind of felt the same way, if y'all had watched any, like, regular season Auburn basketball.
I have not.
Yeah, I have. I watched a lot of SEC basketball this year. Probably the most I've watched in years, which is why I said this tournament was going to be good. And it has been so far.
I think this tournament for me has been the most watched I've ever.
Yeah.
You know, or the one that I've most viewed.
I think it's going to be even. It's just going to keep getting better. I mean, I think these Sweet 16 games Thursday and Friday and this weekend are going to be fantastic. I think overall this is going to be a big hit tournament. It just is. And look, last year's fun, and everybody acts like they want, you know, Cinderella, but. You know, I don't know. You know, we know. Having Florida Atlantic and San Diego State in the Final Four is probably
missing a little shimmer.
Right. Probably not the greatest thing in the world.
Like Duke, North Carolina from a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying. And it's not going to be like that this year. I think this year you're going to have it's going to be chalky and it's going to be heavy. It's going to be big boys in the Final Four.
Do you think, I mean, probably obviously, but do you think we would feel different if some of the outcomes with FAU and San Diego State were different last year? Because I think it's in retrospect type thing. In the moment, it's really cool. It's a lot of fun to root for the underdog. But then looking back on it is when we're like, well, maybe that wasn't, you know.
No, I think the first two rounds are perfect. I think it's once you get to this point in the tournament, especially like this weekend, I think that's when you want to see the big boys. I think that the tournaments, Nate, we got to run to the break, so appreciate the call as always. I think upsets are going to happen every year,
tournament.
And they're good for it early
on. And it's
on.
Even small.
Especially first day.
It's even good for the smaller teams to get to the Final Four occasionally, but you can't do it, you know, all the time every year. I think people lose interest a little bit.
I think the first two rounds are perfect for upsets. But again, like this weekend, when you get to the Elite Eight, that's when you want to see the big boys.
Yeah.
All right, take a final break, come back and wrap up Tuesday's edition of the McFarland Show next.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City. Located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville double stack or the world famous Bar Lines grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the Bar Lines grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it, the price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you are stuck in and your options to get rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of horrible timeshares for over 10 years and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. Get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. Once again, 800-462-3333.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding listeners that every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. Giving equals living. So please consider donating blood today. This message is brought to you by the Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the lsco.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
JB and the Generals.
You're 6'9" for Joe Alton and ran a good 40. 5.04, I believe, was.
I think I saw a little bit of his workout. It looked like he was moving around pretty well.
Looked good. I will say this, though. Chargers at 5, he's going to play right tackle for them. So if he makes it past then, maybe you can get him to the Titans at 7, but apparently he's not making it past number 5.
Really?
So it is unfortunate.
Weekdays 9 of 11, live on WNSR.
The McFarland Show. Video streaming live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube from the Strike and Spare Studio.
We talked about the new NFL rules. We'll get into that more again tomorrow.
Yeah.
The Steelers have added a kick returner. That's okay. How much they believe in this new rule. Like, oh, okay, this is going to open things up. Have you heard of Cordarrelle Patterson?
Sure. University of Tennessee star, Chicago Bears, Atlanta Falcons.
Special teamer.
Minnesota Vikings.
Has been a, honestly, if there was going to be a special teams Hall of Fame candidate.
Yeah.
From this era.
From this generation. It'd be him.
That's him.
It'd be him. Yeah.
So they've added him. The Steelers, we're going to get into this. We'll have plenty of time to pray. They are quietly, in my opinion, having a fantastic, fantastic offseason.
Doing what the Steelers do. Which becomes scary.
To shed that quarterback room.
Yeah.
And to add Russell Wilson and Justin Fields for $4 million.
Yeah.
Total. Get out of here.
They had a meeting, looked at the Lombardis, and was like, okay.
Something else we'll talk about tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was looking at these grades today.
This is off-season.
33rd team AFC early offseason grades.
I love them.
They gave the Steelers a C.
I love it.
I'm like, really?
I love it.
Gave the Titans a C plus.
Bring that on. I love it.
So tomorrow.
Please bring that on. I'm ready for them.
I'm like,
please
really?
Bring that right on up.
Okay. We will. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Bill Keen will get things started at 6 a.m. John Burton and Patton Cook will be 9 to 11, and then we'll take over at 2 o'clock. We'll see you then.